I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. It is episode 18 with Joseph Bears, a.k.a. the Fuck You Bill Glass episode. Boom! Yahtzee that, you son of a bitch. Are you in the room? No, you're not. Go fuck yourself.
Wow. Guns blazing. You just come out guns blazing.
I'm not fucking around tonight. For those of you who are not new to the show, back in the days when Bill Glass was on the show, there was a fake feud between Joseph Bears, who's a dear friend of mine, and Bill Glass, because I would sometimes do road gigs with Joseph Bears, and we would do bonus episodes from a hotel room, and Bill Glass liked to pretend like I was cheating on him and be angry. Yet when they got in the room together, they both double-teamed me and did nothing but shit on me for a nice good hour. That was fun for me, not really, but...
Double-teams might be the wrong way to describe it, but...
I don't understand. You were both entering each of my orifices. That's right, folks. It's going to be one of those shows...
Oh, God. Here
Daddy's,
we go.
Daddy's feeling raunchy. I hope I'm not ruining for you, Bears, but I've had a fucktastic day. It's absolutely awesome here at the wonderful Casa de Worsham. One of the tenants had just moved in, found cockroaches in their unit. I've been here for almost 3 years, I think, now, and no bug problem ever. And of course, these people who are fresh out of college moving in, their parents are coming out to have that fantastic experience of like, oh, it's our boy's first apartment away from home. And there's just roaches everywhere. The AC didn't work. So it's just like, and then I'm babysitting fucking adults. I had to tell a lady that she had she didn't mean to do this, but it's like one of those things. Individually, I don't even notice most of this stuff happening. But when you pile it all on top of me, then it just becomes angering for some reason. So right. she put a pan, like a pan with a handle on it, in her broiler, and then was wondering why her apartment smelled funny and set off the smoke detector whenever she used the oven. She said, it's fine with the stove, but whenever I use the oven, I'm like, well, could it be this pot that you're melting in the fucking broiler? I didn't say that, but I wanted to. Yeah, it's not her fault.
Wow.
Not her fault. So before I get too vitriolic, how are things with you, Joseph Bears? How is your life?
Things are great. I've got 3.5-year-old running around, running my life, and it's awesome. And I'm home a lot lately, so I'm kind of living your life a little bit.
Yeah.
Playing stay-at-home dad quite a bit. And actually, I'm kind of reversed. My wife is doing 8 shows a week. She's a performer, and she's doing 8 shows a week at the Denver Center. So I've got the kid every night except for Monday night. So every night it's, bath time and bedtime and stories. And it's kind of a role reversal. And I kind of love it, actually, but she's been doing it since February. So, and the show goes till October. So that's a lot of, Dr. Seuss being read on my watch. A lot of Goodnight Moon happening over here in the Bears family.
You're a better man than I, that you are in love with it. But I also want to make it clear real quick, that your wife is an actress, who is a triple threat. She sings, she dances. When you say performer, I don't want them to get the misunderstanding that she's some kind of burlesque dancer that they can
come down
to Denver, Colorado.
She's 8 shows a week with a donkey. It's fine.
She's doing an 8-month tour in Boulder where she removes her over-the-shoulder boulder holder. Come on down. It's going to be awesome. Mrs. Bears is in the house.
What? You are on fire tonight.
She's going to be stealing pick-a-nick baskets. And by pick-a-nick, I mean pick-a-dick. Yeah.
Oh, that's just bad.
That's unfair to your wife. That's not fair to her. I didn't mean that.
It's unfair because she also does... Women, girl on girl action. So.
Okay, of course, yeah. She's not a one trick pony.
This is terrible. What am I saying? No,
yes. It's me. I lower
actress.
The bar and you jump in. That's how it works.
She's doing a show at the Denver Center, downtown Denver, and yeah, she's a singer. It's a musical. Blah de blah. 8-month contract. God bless her. She's pulling her weight. We're definitely a 50-50 kind of family. So we're both working our asses off to. Make the world turn here. So, and one thing, hey, you might be interested in this. We are currently trying.
I was going to ask.
We're trying. We are watching the ovulation calendar. It's like the advent calendar that you and your other buddy were talking about, but in a good way, not in a scary,
in a creepy way. When can I get back in that batch? Huh? Come on, Belma, let me in there. Knock.
So funny. That shit was so funny.
I love Johnny Walker. I'm such a huge fan of his. But that's great. That's exciting. All of the Latino listeners are laughing at you because you have to try. There's an effort involved in making babies for white people for some reason.
Why do you have to offend the Latino community?
Somebody's got to do it. They're taking over.
It's not fair. I mean, listen, were the kids that found the cockroaches, were they Latino?
No, not at all.
Then you could have done a whole La Cucaracha thing. Oh. Done a little dance or something, and I don't know. Something.
Well, I've heard Adam Kroll was actually talking about that on his podcast, where he said, how funny is it that the song that the taco truck plays is... The cockroach is going to get you. It's like the translation of it. Like, it's a song about a cockroach while food is coming up to be eaten. Like, he goes like, doesn't that not make sense to anyone? They're like, I don't know what you mean. So you're trying. Are you nervous about it? Is it a situation where you now, does it take all the fun out of the magic time with you and your lady? Or is this?
It doesn't because I've been wanting to try for number two for a couple of years now, and my wife has just kind of been the one saying, whoa, just ease back. Let's just take our time here and make sure we're all set. And I think it actually was kind of genius, especially listening to your show for the past, 3 years. Mm-hmm. I kind of get that having them so close together, I'm sure it's nice to get it done. But at the same time, I'm excited if we're lucky enough to have another kid. She's going to be over 4 years old, which is helper. I mean, she's going to be a helper. She can do her own thing, go color, go play while, we focus on this little, as you like to say, flesh slug.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be great. I see people like you with, two kids close together, and especially if the older one's still in diapers, I just don't know how people do it. It's amazing. And then to have more than two at a young age it blows my mind. And I think maybe I'm just a pussy. I don't know, but I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I could do it. I don't know how you do it. It's amazing.
I don't know if everybody is in, I'm in a little bit of like what seems like a cosmic type funk, not to get all hippy dippy weatherman on everybody, but it's just like my wife and I were just talking. We went out to dinner real quick before we fired up the microphones and we're just talking like,
hey, what's date up? Night.
Yeah, well, no, we had the kids with us in tow, but,
hey, miserable time at Outback.
No, the kids weren't bad. It's just, I guess what I'm saying is that we're both working hard and we're both busy. Like I just flipped 8 units in this entire complex in less than 3 weeks. And then I was helping my dad rent his duplex all at the same time. So I'm running around, I'm taking care of the kids and, I'm booking voiceover work. And it's just, there's a lot going on and it is a little bit of a pussy example. It's not funny enough to be like a kind of a suburban raged moment where it's not a real problem to be busy and to be working. But it feels like it's like, man, I just feel like life was so much easier. And we're kind of like doing that thing where I don't really think it has to do with the kids. I don't think it necessarily has to do with our jobs. I don't know if it's, it feels like there's something in the air. And are you in anywhere? Can you relate to anything that I'm saying? Or are you just like, no, life's great. I'm banging the bejesus out of my wife because we're trying to make a baby. And Everything is magical.
We're constantly, our biggest fight, our biggest problem is not having enough quality time together. Just like you, just like most people, you know, people are like, do a date night. That sounds great. But to make that actually happen, you know, a lot of things have to fall into place. So we're lucky if we get a date night once a month, once every 2 months. So we're dying for more time together, which is nice. But at the same time, it's rough because we're just constantly, when we have a conversation, it's about, did she take a crap today? she has a cough. Did you get this medicine? You know, it's all based on the kid. It's nothing, you know, we got to get this ready for preschool. We've got to get this in line. Got to get this set up. Who's going to pick her up from here? Who's dropping her off at this, you know, thing? And it's just constant. And again, I feel almost bad because it's just one kid and she's actually really good. So she's not this terror on wheels. But still, we're just constantly tired. We're constantly stressed. But I think that's life, and that's just the way it goes. So we definitely try to find time to stop and, hey, you know, pat on the ass and just say, hey, you're doing a good job, and I love you, and we're doing good. We have a pretty kick-ass family. So we stop, and I really make a point to stop and tell her that, and I think she does the same, and that goes a long way in our family.
Oh, my God, It's humongous. It's absolutely it's amazing how that little 10-second check-in makes you feel. Like, it makes you feel like you're reconnected, you're with each other again, you're doing the right thing, and not just, you know, essentially running a daycare of your own offspring out of your own house, you know? That's been the roughest, you know, part for me. I'm curious, too, before I forget, you have not started preschool yet?
This will be year two. We started preschool last year.
That's what I thought. Okay.
This time last year, but it was what? I think it was 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 days a week. So it was it was just getting her. But she's an only kid. We don't have any neighbors that have kids around us. So it's just been the three of us, you know, from day one. So I just was like, we got to get this kid socialized. We got to get her sharing, cleaning up, doing stuff with other kids so that she knows the world. And that really went a long way, and she loved it. So this year we're going back to the same school, and it's going to be longer, and now it's going to be 3 days a week, and we're psyched. So it doesn't start until after Labor Day. So we've got about 3 weeks until it starts. So we're excited. We're jazzed for it.
And I kind of knew it was going to happen, but and I've talked a little bit about it already on the show, but this idea that you take them to school and you're paying good money to have them return to you ill on a steady basis, I feel, for the past fucking month and a half. I just feel like, I really don't think he's going there to get an education and to paint sunflowers on paper plates. I think he's going there through some experiment done by the CDC to create some kind of elongated immunization program for the people of America. Like, I just, and then it's we've been so lucky. Natalie's only been tagged once. I have not been tagged yet, but it keeps going back and forth. And I finally learned, and it's so funny how simple it is. But when we would go pick Jacob up, they have a sippy cup, right? So this is where it starts. They have a sippy cup in like one of those trays, like a wood tray that you would give your mom on Mother's Day for breakfast in bed kind of thing.
Right.
So all of them sit there. Well, guess what? Just try to wrap your mind about 20 kids in a class. How many variations do you think exist in sippy cups at a Target that are appealing to a general person's eye? You're right. The answer is three. So there are three different variations in out of 20. And guess what? Those kids can't read their fucking names that you put on the top of it. So they're literally just, it might as well be a toddler orgy happening there. There's just constant swapping of bodily fluids just happening. Not even mentioning when they cough and sneeze on each other or wipe it on their arm and then, you know, touch each other in every face. And oh, my gosh. So they're just constantly coming home. And then what I foolishly would do was Jack would be like, oh, he sees the sippy cup. And I'm like, oh, he wants to be like his brother. And then I would give him the sippy cup that had been passed around like some kind of, you know,
you're an idiot.
1960s hookah in a commune somewhere. And then I'm like, why does he keep getting sick? And then suddenly I stop doing it. And guess who the only one getting sick is? Now it's just Jacob. Jack doesn't get sick anymore. Oh, my. Did you go through that or no?
I hate to burst your bubble here, but we did not go
you
through
motherfucker.
That. But it was only, I think, how long is Jacob in school?
A month and a half.
No, how long per day?
3 hours, 5 days a week.
Yeah, see, ours was 2 days a week for 2 hours, and they had snack time, and a parent had to bring like little boxed apple juices. So they're not running around with sippy cups.
That's smart.
And also it's very like open play. Like they've got open play time, they've got craft time, they've got snack time. It's very structured. Then they've got outdoor play time. And
well, this place is structured too, but you're right though. But it sucks that's the world we live in, because I don't know who to blame. I don't know if it's like, if this really is a microcosm of the way things used to be in the dark ages where everybody lived in a castle and in a 4 or 5 acre space. And that's why diseases spread so rampantly and fast. But I feel like that if you're sending your kid to school sick, you don't think about what you're doing to everybody else, right?
Yeah, no, right. Here's the thing. You know, we get to drop her off, and there's a whiteboard when you walk into the school, and it says today, and then it lists all the illnesses that are going around the school, and it's just saying, this is just so you know what's going on. And even if the kids aren't there, they're saying, well, this kid's at home with a stomach flu. This kid's got this. This kid's got pneumonia. It's just, and so they're real, they put everything out there so
that
you can never turn around and say, well, my kid got, you know, a stomach virus because of the school. It's like, well, you were warned. We had it on the board here that, you know, this happened and that happened. But yeah, if she's got a little cough, we kind of look at each other in the morning and say, what are we doing here? Are we going to, are we going to drop her off? Or are we going to, you know, that's a dry cough. We're safe. It's okay. It's not a wet, you know, moist, disgusting cough. So
2 steps shy of TB.
Right, exactly.
If I'm a janitor,
and then we're still like, yeah, but then we get a couple hours to ourselves. I don't know. Maybe we should just send her.
Well, that's the rough part about it, is that the real purpose of preschool, they make it seem like it's going to make them more prepared for college if you put them in school 20 years before they show up. But in reality, it's all you got to do is say, we're going to take your kid for 3 to 4 hours, if not longer. Even if you're a stay-at-home parent, we got you. And it's like, great, love it. I love the shit out of this kid. But that 3 to 4 hours to watch a movie and clean house with them not in my way, or go to a grocery store. Oh, my God. I went to the grocery store in the middle of that. We recorded a podcast. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, I went to the grocery store because I'm like, this way I don't have to fucking lug the kid. So it's worth not getting that hour of sleep because I've got to deal with, you know, keeping them entertained and all that stuff. This is not fair. I'm in a very negative mood, and I apologize to our listeners.
I hate to be Mr. Sunshine and Roses here, but for me, it's all about, it has nothing to do with that actually learning. It's about social interaction. It's about monkeys in a cage for me. And it's huge because then, you know, she comes home and it's like, hey, clean that up. Or, you know, please and thank you and all that. And it's like she's starting to get it. And it's because of school, because, you know, we just don't have we don't have the amount of people in our house and other, you know, for her to share. We don't want to play with her toys. So, you know, she doesn't have to share them with us. But all of a sudden, you know, if she wants to do the same thing someone else is doing at school, she has to wait her turn and all that. And it goes a long way. I think it's helping us build a better kid.
Yeah.
And it's so far it's been going really well. So we're pretty psyched about it.
Well, mission accomplished. You're a better father than I, Joseph.
No. How dare you?
No, I know what you're saying. You're right. It is for me, I wanted them to get used to somebody else telling them what to do. That was a bigger thing. I wasn't really worried about him socializing because he's good at that. I felt like he was okay around other kids. And I felt like the other part of it is that I wanted him to experience the negative side of it. Like I felt like he needed to be around some kids that are going to kind of tell him to fuck off or you know, in a toddler way. I don't know what they say. I don't know what the kids are saying now, but
I get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it happened that very first day where it's like the kids are making fun of him because and I think it was somebody else. And even my therapist said the same thing where it's like there's this level of when he talks to them in a way that they're not used to another kid talking. And not that my son is great, because it's one of those situations where when you're just around adults, because I had it when I was a kid, when you grow up where my father wanted me to be around mostly adults because he thought it would help me to develop communication skills. And then so what it makes is that I relate to people that are in their 40s, even though I'm 33. Like I have one friend, Kevin Miller, who is in his 30s. Every other friend that I have that I love to hang out with is in their 40s and that I miss and that I love talking to. That's just how it is for me. And I
guilty.
Think, yeah, exactly. I think that's because when I was a kid, my dad wanted me around older people. And so there's something that you kind of grow up a little bit to, this sounds pompous and I hate it, but I feel like it puts you in an environment where you're just a little bit ahead in that area. But what it also creates is there's negative sides to it, to where it's like you get a little judgy, like, you know, like I sound right now. And you need somebody, some kid who's an alpha male and simple brain to just say, hey, dipshit, you don't know anything. And that's a little bit what I think my kid needs, and that the preschool, I think, will kind of provide, which is not part of their curriculum. You know what I mean? They don't take, right. Hey, Jimbo, you're the biggest one here. Why don't you take Jacob in the back? But he's already dealing with those kinds of issues where it's like he doesn't want to go into the bigger kid class. And it's because he doesn't like change. And it's because I think he's worried about making new friends. And the bigger kids are kind of intimidating, even though he's a smaller kid for his age. But that's where he should be. And, you know, so it's good for him to kind of be challenged and pushed in that direction. But so I agree with you in that sense that it is good. It is a thing that I think, you know, if you can afford to do it and it works out for you to do it, of course, preschool is the bomb. Plus, you know, you could sit at home and have a toss back a few cocktails while the kids are at school. You just got to sober up before that lunchtime break. My favorite thing, too, about preschool is that my wife, because we started with 3 days a week. For I think it was $600. And then they quickly said, you know, I think it would help, because he was getting upset about getting dropped off. And the teacher was like, it would help if he was here every day. And I'm like, all right, I see you where you're going with this lady. You're just trying to milk more money out of it. But it's a $50 difference. That's all they make out of it. Each month. So I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay. And then as soon as I do that, they're like, well, maybe next month he should stay a little longer in the day. And Natalie was like, no, I'm not keeping him there while he takes a fucking nap. Because in the younger class that he's in, they nap at 12:30, and that's when I come and pick him up. And I agree with her. But if once he goes into the older class, he's supposed to do class time. But I just like the idea of my wife getting angry about paying somebody so that they can watch our child sleep.
I think I'd go down that route too. I agree with her.
Well, especially in our setup, because one of us, it can be a stay-at-home parent. Like, that's just how it happens to work out. So it makes no sense to pay for a kid to, you know, just sleep. But we're also doing the no naps. Is Riley still doing naps?
She went away from them and then came back to them, and now she's not again. So she goes through phases where she will not nap for a couple months, and then it's a solid month of a nap, of a good 2-hour nap every day. So we just, you know, we just kind of watch her and see where she goes. But it comes and goes with her.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is, because I don't know a lot of dudes that have daughters. So is there, you know, you've heard me talk about on the show what I'm going through with boys, with superheroes and stuff like that. As Riley has gotten older, is there more girly things that are going on in your world? Or I know she's kind of outdoorsy because of you guys.
She is. But she's a bit of a linebacker.
Yeah.
As you've seen and as Jacob has experienced, she's definitely a big kid. But yeah, she's kind of girly. She definitely has that feminine thing where everything's going, although this might be for little boys too, I don't know, but everything will be fine and very happy. And then, like, I'll just, you know, sing a line of a song or something, and she'll just break down into tears.
Really?
Or I'll do a character voice from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. You know, we'll be talking and laughing and doing going back and forth as Donald or Mickey and Minnie. And then I'll do Donald and it's over. Like, like I just, you know, killed somebody. She'll just, you know, break down into tears. And my wife does the funniest thing. She just says, well, you know, she's a girl. And I think she's taking women's lib back a little bit by saying that, but it also makes kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I do I like the idea that you're put into this like confused male role and no matter what in your household, like, you know, cause you have a wife and a daughter. So it's like, well, she's a girl. You wouldn't understand, you know, but no, this doesn't make sense. Like, why would she?
Yeah. And I have those moments where, you know, we listen to a lot of music in the car, and she, you know, makes requests. Like, I'm Casey Kasem, and she's giving me long distance requests from the back of the car. So she'll be like, oh, play this song. And I'm like, okay. And it'll start, and then play this song, play that song. And she just will go on and on. And it's like, I'm like, well, you know what? My wife will listen to half a song and then go on and then skip 5 songs on a CD. And if I put on a CD, I want to listen to the whole thing. That's just the way I am. That's the way I'm wired. But my daughter's got this thing where a half of a song will play and she's like, okay, next one, next one, next one. And then sometimes the music will be loud and she's asking for the next song. And I turn down the music and I'm like, what's that? And then every time she asks me, she gets a little quieter. So all of a sudden it's like, and then at one point one day I had a Justin Worsham moment and I pulled over the car. I was like, I cannot hear you. Speak up. And then she almost whispered at that point. And it's like, God damn, is she just being a girl now? What do I do? I can't get mad at her. She's just being shy with her dad because I can just imagine her looking at me like this big bear in the front seat going, what are you saying? And she's like, I just want to listen to Lady Gaga, you dumb beast. Damn it.
I definitely have those but the latest one that I have now is my son will be sitting in a restaurant and everything will be spoken like everyone in the restaurant needs to hear him. But when he's talking to me and I'm actually trying to engage him in a conversation, then he mumbles and talks incredibly quiet. And so I've had the thing where the car is stopped at a light or something. I turn around, I go, why is it that every time I don't need to hear you, I could do nothing but that. But when I do need to hear you, I could do nothing but that. Why is that? You know? Oh, good night, son. I love you.
I am not going to go to bed.
You're not going to go to bed? You're just coming to hug me? Thank you, son. All right. Well, go have fun not going to bed. You're playing with Jack. All right, well, have fun playing with Jack. Sorry, I got interrupted. I thought he was saying goodnight. Because
no,
God forbid he go to bed on time when it's fun.
I had something important to tag on to what you just said.
I was saying that when I don't need to hear him, he's very loud. When I do need to hear him, he's very quiet. And I had a moment where I yelled that at him.
But you know what? At least you're not asking him a rhetorical question like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's true. I put a lot of those to who am I talking to? I'm talking to Joseph Bears. Do you remember Joseph Bears? You played Captain America with him here in this very house.
Let me see this kid.
Oh, you want to? Let's do that. Here, I'm going to hit pause real quick. We're back.
Okay, very good. Yes, but to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
It is a world right now of Barbies and dolls and constant little My Little Ponies are real popular in my house. And again, it's, you know, $3 for this tiny, tiny little pony, and she's got a hat. And of course they make 18 of them, and they've got these, you know, you've got these little bags where you don't know which one you're getting. So I have spent so much money trying to find freaking Sunshine, you know, Lollipop Pony, and it's like I've got 5 of the same pony. It's driving me crazy.
Why don't you go on eBay?
That's our superheroes. Yeah, I should do eBay, but part of the fun for her is
the surprise.
Not knowing what's next.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's in the freaking bag.
Now, is your wife of the My Little Pony generation? Is that why it's – because I feel like that's not the popular thing, or did it make a surge back?
Yeah, it's back.
Yeah, I knew it's on the Hub. The Hub has brought back a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it's back. Well, they're new episodes. It's new. It's back and it's new stuff.
Wow, excited. Yeah, fill me in. I watch a lot of Batman. I'm hip with the superheroes. Uh-huh. So you watch a lot of My Little Pony shows?
We play with Barbie, Lala Loopsie, all the princesses of Disney are popular. Real big in our house is Doc McStuffins now, which is on Disney.
Jacob
Junior
loves that show too. I'm actually a pretty good fan. I think the music's good.
That's big. Super Y is oh, you know what's big? Umizoomi. Have you watched that yet?
No, I've seen they're making a movie that looks like it's a parody of Teletubbies. Like, I don't think that's what their intent is trailer.
That's different.
Oh,
that's different.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You're thinking of, and I hate to say this, but I know this, you're thinking of Oogie Loves,
okay,
which is by the same creators of Teletubbies, create a new show called, this new movie called Oogie Loves, and it is so creepy, and I just Google it and watch some of it, and you will be so offended and mad by watching it because it's like Teletubbies, but even stranger and more annoying and more scary. So
to review, we have Oogie Loves, Umizoomi.
Right. Now Umizoomi's on Nick Jr. and that's actually super cute. It's a math based cartoon.
Uh-huh.
But it's on Nick. It's on Nick or Nick Jr. and it's super cute actually. And Riley's really into that right now. And the whole show is based on math and shapes.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, I hate to say it, but her math skills are pretty freaking great right now because of the show.
I love it. I just love that this is an actual conversation the two adult men have.
Yeah.
I just love that it's like it's a math show. It's pretty cute. But I want to go back to Princess Lala because is that what you
I know.
Said? Tell me what Prince.
This is like two guys breaking down fantasy football, but it's, you know, freaking Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah.
Oh, God, shoot me in the face. And I just know, Justin, I just know that I'm destined to have another girl. I just know it. There's just no way I'm not going to have another girl.
Because you're very good at it. I mean, clearly, I'm listening to you talk. But I want to know, before I forget, who is Princess Lala?
Why are you asking me who Princess Lala? I don't know.
You said Princess Lala. There's a you're or some kind of show that you were you that was one of the shows you just named.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Justin. You must be speaking of Lala Loopsy.
Oh yes, okay.
All the moms with little girls right now are freaking out because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Lala Loopsy is a brand of dolls that they sell them, you know, at Target and Walmart and all those stores. I think they have a movie, but it's pretty bad. But these actual dolls, they're really tiny and they come with all kinds of different. They each have a pet, so it's very much like Strawberry Shortcake, where you get a doll and they have a pet. So she's collecting those right now. We have more of those. I know what to do with. And I think I mentioned this when last time I was on the show, maybe a year ago, we talked about this. But this kid will get 10 different characters, right? Lala Loopsy, Mickey Mouse, whatever. And she'll be playing with 9 of them. And she will literally look at all 9 and look at me and go, where's Cookies and Cream Sniffy Girl? That's pretty
close.
That
sounds like a website I subscribe to handle myself on the road. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm browsing through the YouPorn channel right now. But no, it's like she'll have 9 of something, and she will literally look up and say, where's this one? Where's number 10? And it really is amazing to me that she can be that – she's that good, that smart, that she knows who's not there and wants to know. And that's all the only ones she wants. Yeah. So then we play the, you know, dig through the couches, go up and down the stairs 50,000 times. And by the time we find it, guess who's not interested anymore in Princess Scratch and Sniff, my daughter.
That's one of my most frustrating moments right now is my son will just randomly – his new thing is he'll just start going like he makes some – like he's being slowly stabbed by one of the Spartans from 300. Like it just – and I go, what are you doing? And just – it does this weird reaction out of me, which I'm sure is why he's learned to do it. And then I'll look at him and go, what's your problem? I can't find my Batman that with the blue Batman with the boomerangs. And I go, okay, we'll look for it. Does it ever, and I, of course, this is well documented on the show. It never works, but I am the father who's like, I want to try to rationalize to him and say, has it ever worked? Have you ever made that goofy dying seal noise? And has Batman ever appeared? And he looks at me and goes, no. I go, then maybe you could try. Stop doing that and just say, hey, father, can you help me find the blue Batman with the boomerangs? Because I guarantee you that when you start to do that, instead of having this visceral response of like, no, then I'll be like, yeah, let's look around. But then he'll always ask me to look and then immediately zone out into the TV show that he's watching, which is hilarious to me. Like, it just makes me laugh. And then I've been looking for 10 minutes thinking, thank you very much, Jacob. He brought me a microphone. I'll be thinking that we've been looking together for 15 minutes because I'm wearing blinders trying to find the blue Batman. And then I look and he's just staring, watching Doc McStuffins. And I'm like, hey, what the hell? What's going on here?
Yeah. But see, I'm a little OCD personally. So if a part or piece is missing from a set, this is why I can't have a boy, because if I ever get into the Lego world, I'm going to slit my throat. So, but if there's a piece or a part missing from something, then it has to all be together before the lights go out at night.
I'll
put her to bed and then I'm downstairs like, all right, this strawberry shortcake goes here and this goes here. And I'm doing all the cleanup because everything needs to be together because I don't want to lose anything. I'm just ridiculous like that.
That's awesome.
Little OCD.
Before I forget, I want to talk about this too because you sent me this a while ago. This cool article, which is great because I started the show with so much vitriol. So I think it's a nice tone shift to do this sweet thing. Okay. You probably don't even remember it, but this is this guy who walked his daughter to school nearly every day for 10 years.
Yes.
And I watched the video and everything, and I don't remember why it was ending. Was it because she was a senior, or do you remember? I know you sent it to me a theory. Well, here, we'll listen to it. Let's try that. There's a news report.
Jerry, we got
to
talk.
First, let's turn that down. Oh, I can't do that. And wait, can I do that? Yes. Okay. For a second, it plays a stupid advertisement. Why does that have to happen on a news video? Why do I have to sit here and look at a fucking KFC commercial?
Yeah.
When I just want to hear about the guy who, here we go.
As children get ready to wrap up school heading into summer today, one Delray Beach teen completed a tradition she's lived every school day for 10 years.
Right, News Channel 5's Ashley Walters has the story of how a daughter and her daddy have walked to school every day.
What do you got going after school?
13-year-old Laura McKinney's last day of eighth grade, and dad Frank will walk her to school.
You know, it was so important to me because I got to spend time with my dad.
Since Laura was in pre-K, 10 years, the two have walked to school every day.
Are you sad?
Not yet.
15 minutes on foot, even when they were running late.
Just you and me.
Yep.
Commitment, yes.
But I wouldn't. I mean, I just wouldn't miss it for anything.
Sacrifice? No.
I learned something from him every day when we walked to school, just how what a good person he is, truly. And it means a lot that he takes time out.
10 years of all of this has added up to more than 1,650 walks for daddy and daughter. And every once in a while, Mother Nature comes along, too.
I remember when the hurricanes of 04 and 05 came through. How long did it take us to get to school?
Even when the bridge was being rebuilt.
We took a rowboat and we put it in the water and we rowed to school, but that only lasted for like a week.
Mixed emotions today. Mixed emotions.
Dad says the same thing to daughter every day, now for the final time.
Take care of the kids, take care of your teachers, laugh and giggle, be a kid, have fun, don't worry about anything. Daddy loves you and be a leader.
It was his last time saying it, so yeah.
I had a real hard time getting through that today for the first time.
The path is a bond, one time can't take away.
Don't worry about it, Dad.
In Delray Beach, Ashley Walters, WPTV, News Channel 5.
And the kids start comforting us. That's how it all works. Frank McKinney has turned their adventures and walks into a young reader's fantasy novel, Dead Fred, Flying Lunchboxes, and The Good Luck Circle. In years to come, the two have decided to take the same walk every May 16th.
So I was on board till I heard the title
of the...
When
it's time to move,
what?
Call
no,
all
shut up,
my sons
stupid.
Moving
oh,
in storage.
Gosh. I hate you. I hate you, video.
Every
I hate
day,
you.
233-7900.
Don't ever use all my son's moving and storage.
Stop this story here.
Screw those
today
people.
Was bittersweet
you son of a
for one daddy
daughter. There we go. All right. I could
have
just
how long? Them. How long have you been doing this?
Doing what? This show?
Podcasting.
I've been podcasting for about 5 years.
And I feel like it's been 5 years that you're yelling at the computer and having this exact same moment of, what? This cable.
I
this
have
cable
to
is making me so mad. Oh, it's my iPhone.
Well, because here's the thing. In a traditional radio show, you have an engineer. So all you have to do is come up with the content and talk and fill in. And then there's even producers who will provide little notes for you on news stories and everything like that. But here, it's just me. So when I'm in the moment and I'm trying to talk with somebody, and I just hear a humming. I'm still trying to not to lose the train of thought. And I just hear this. What the fuck is that noise? And that's all I can focus on. But
so funny.
But anyway, to get
realize,
back.
I'm probably not the only person, but I have listened, downloaded and listened to every dad podcast show since day one.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Right there. I mean, that's something.
Yeah. I appreciate it immensely.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
The second you said that you were doing it, I was on board. And what's nice is you haven't wavered from your vision of the show and everything. It's been the exact same. And that's what makes it so good is that it's always fun and it's a great thing. So I just wanted to give you some kudos on that real quick.
Well, thank you, sir. You're a very kind soul and I appreciate it. But to get back to this guy that I was earlier cussing and screaming at, it is pretty freaking awesome and cool. And there's moments where I think just because of my current mood that I want to get angry that he's like, be a leader and all that stuff. But it is a nice thing that it would be nice if we all could take more time to, you know, spend and do these little special walks with the kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I mean, I think he really, even though it sounds to us kind of corny, but I bet he means that. I bet maybe his dad told him that or something. So he's probably, you know, doing that. I don't know. I say the same thing to my daughter every night, putting her to bed. It's like a little routine that we do now. And now she does it. And it's like, yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to probably do this when you're in your 20s and 30s. And I'm going to call you up, and, you know, in the middle of the night and bug you with this kind of shit. So get used to it. You know, and it's like you. I think you said that, you know, you're always hugging and kissing on your kids.
Yeah.
It's like I don't see that stopping for me, even when they're older. I really don't care if my kids like get away from me and, you know, you're embarrassing me. I mean, I'm the dad that's gonna be, you know, dropping her off at school and getting out of the car in my bathrobe saying, "You okay? Everything good? All right. Hey, all right."
God damn it, do I wish we lived next door to each other. Because I would love to be right there with you and be able to pull up to the same school next to you and get out of my bathroom and be like, hey, Joseph, what's up?
If we do a whole bit, it would be brilliant. I'm sure we'd be talked to and probably arrested.
Yeah, told to never come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it has a lot to do with my mood today, to be honest, but because it is sweet, it is cool. But it kind of makes me feel, it's like most things when you see other people that feel like they've got a better hold on parenting than you. I've always had this kind of reaction of like, what the hell, you know, like, oh, I can't be like that all the time or whatever. But,
oh God.
And so, but I feel like in actual, like, cause that made me think, I'm like, well, maybe I'm kind of an asshole cause I don't have that with my kids. But when you say, you're right, I have something similar where I hug them and I kiss them. It's not like I'm completely disconnected, you know, from them and want nothing to do with them. But I'm sorry. It's so distracting.
What's that? What's happening?
It's not her fault. It is my wife. But it's, you know.
What is she doing?
She's not doing anything. But it's, you know, I'm trying to do the show. I don't really have a space that I could do the show. And this is the second time in a row that I'm trying to, you know, have an open conversation and you know, kind of be honest and visceral about what I'm going through. And my kids are sitting here eating cookies and milk while I'm doing it. So it unintentionally creates a little bit of a filter. Not a big one, clearly. I don't have much of a filter.
Right.
It makes me feel like I have to rein it in a little because it makes me a little afraid of, you know, unnecessarily of what I may or may not say. And she's sitting here yelling at them to be quiet. Which I don't know. Now, mind you, she could give my 14-month-old a little cup of little puffs, the Gerber puffs, and not a closed bowl, like an open bowl that he could dump all over the living room, right? But on this given moment, she's more interested in having them at the table. This is the moment that she decides to listen to me, and now she's already mad at me because I'm complaining about her. So enough about me. What are your thoughts on this guy who walked his kid to school? Well, I guess you already shared that, huh? You said you have. What is it that you say? Is it too personal? Can I ask what you say to your daughter when you put her to bed?
I mean, it's just schmaltzy. You're going to roll your eyes, but sure. I mean, one night I said I was just kind of being stupid, and I'm like, "Nighty night, sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite." And the next night I'm like, what did daddy say? And she messed it up. And she said, nighty night, sleep tight, and don't let the baby bed bugs bite. So now we say that every single night, same thing. And then it goes right from that to a kiss. Oh, and I say, I love you, Riley. And she says, I love you too, daddy. But she thinks it's funny to repeat me. So I'll say, I love you, Riley. And I'll say, then what do you say? And she says, I love you, Riley. And then so like we go back, but she's doing it to be funny. So we go back and forth with that little, that's like a little bit we do going back and forth with that.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, just say sweet dreams and whatever and tuck her in. And she's always been real good about going to bed. And even if she's not tired, she'll just lay there and talk to herself or, you know, she just, once she's in bed, she knows that it's a done deal. So we had a pretty smooth transition from crib into bed. So we've been really lucky for some reason, you know, once we stick her in there, she's locked in, even if she's not tired. So
that's right. Cause I remember you telling me about how you guys, she would talk to herself in the crib.
Yes.
Give you some time that you could kind of giggle at her through the monitor, but also enjoy some lazy time in bed, just you and your wife, you know.
Right,
and nice.
She still does that. She will, and she'll wake up and she'll talk for 30 minutes to herself in the morning.
How cute.
Eventually, now she knows that she can get up and come wake us up or whatnot. But she'll still, you know, we'll just hear her babbling about Doc McStuffins or her teacher or whatever from preschool. She'll just be, you know, having a little conversation, having, you know. And I think that's an only child thing. I was an only child. For my younger years until I had stepbrothers and stepsisters. But up till I was 13, 14, I was an only child, and I was very imaginative and had all kinds of, you know, imaginary friends and did a lot of, you know, a lot of performing, you know, to nobody in particular. And she's kind of got that going on right now, which is kind of cool. Actually, it kind of reminds me of my childhood and, you know, I think I turned out, you know, kind of creative and obviously in the entertainment industry, and, you know, she's kind of going down that path too, which is pretty fun.
Oh, really? So she like, has she done the thing where she puts on a show for you or anything like that?
Yeah, she's just, I mean, just to watch her act out, kind of like when you explain, you know, Jacob taking the characters and each character, each superhero, he's doing the voices and having them fight each other. She does that with, you know, all her characters and all her dolls and runs around. And she definitely is a singer dancer, but I think all little girls are. So I don't think, oh, she's going to be Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. No, but it's just fun that she's, I'm more excited that she's creative and she's, you know, not afraid to, you know, kind of be goofy and be funny and be silly. And she's not, you know, she's not looking at herself you know, we definitely just kind of laugh and have fun with her. And we try not to, like, the minute she does something, take off the video camera and start recording her and give her a complex. We just try to embrace it and join in with her. So it's fun.
Has she seen either of you do a show? 'Cause I know you guys do some children's theater too.
No, she's come out to a couple of events that I've been on, which has been fun. And she came to, we did a Christmas Carol 2 years ago, and she came out actually, but she was so young then. But she just sat through the whole show. Oh, I do remember it was, Shannon had a song at the end of the show, and there was like this break in between singing and then the next line. And we hear from the audience, "Mommy." So that was pretty funny. So it's like, she knew it was Shannon 'cause she just heard her singing and talking, and that was pretty cute.
When we used to do, when I did Comedy Sports, there was a player there named Kevin O'Shea, and his daughter was young. And so there was a rule that was always said that he goes, "Hey guys, my daughter's," because it's a family show. And my daughter's, what Comedy Sports is, for those who don't know, it's like a fake competitive improv show, like Whose Line Is It Anyway, with like a sports theme. So there's a referee that hosts it. Everybody's wearing jerseys and stuff, and you play games, and there's a scoreboard and all this stuff. And so anyway, you would do a scene with him, and sometimes you would jokingly kill somebody by snapping their neck. And it was a funny bit that we did, you know, frequently in this show. And so he had a rule that you weren't allowed to kill him when his daughter was in the crowd, because she honestly thought it was real. And I just the reason I remember this, because she just graduated high school, and it's funny to watch her like sit there with her little, you know, maybe middle school. I'm sorry. But she's like much older, and I go, I wonder, does she still get freaked out when she gets killed, or when you get killed at the show? And there was a guy there that always did the show that he would say, "Hey guys, so and so's in the crowd tonight, so just, you know, don't, no killing Kevin tonight." And you know how you do that thing where it's like, don't do this, and then you can't help but do that, even though you're not trying to do it. So my friend Jeremy would constantly accidentally kill him in a scene, and he would try to bring himself back to life so his daughter wouldn't start. But it happened, and it was hilariously and sadly funny, because he would die, and then all of a sudden you hear, "No!" Like, "Daddy!" And everybody like, "Why does this kid care?" You know, and then he would have to get up, and then everybody would be like, "Aw." And then everybody would point at the guy who killed him and be like, "You're a dick." Like,
there you go. I bet you his team always won.
That's right, it did. That's right. And it's funny, because I don't think Jacob really understands. I think he knows what I do, but it is funny how they don't really get an idea of that at all. Like, they don't really, like, he doesn't know I tell jokes for a living. He just thinks I talk and just talk and talk and talk.
He's never shown up at a stand-up show?
No, yeah, well, clearly not. The closest thing was that they came with me once on the road before we had Jack. And they dropped me off at the comedy club, because the condo I was staying at was literally walking distance. So they just dropped me off there. We came back from dinner, and he goes, I gotta go to work. He goes, "Is that where you talk and tell and jokes?" Like, I go, "Yeah."
Oh.
Yeah. But he, like, I just think it's funny, because he finds my CDs around the house or whatever, and he sees me on it and everything. But I really don't think I always think that you, not that I expect it, but you kind of feel like you remember your childhood. And if my dad was doing anything like performance oriented, I'd like to think that I'd be like, "Wow, that's cool," or something, you know, something along those lines. But you never get that. There's nothing ever like that.
Yeah, no, we're not getting that either. So, yeah. But you know, we're goofballs with her too. So I think she just thinks mommy and daddy are a couple of goofballs.
Yeah.
You know, so that's definitely kind of happened. Justin, I feel like whenever we talk to each other on these shows, mm-hmm. that you get all these comedians and, you know, guys that are doing bits and voices and being funny. And I feel like whenever we talk, it's more heart to heart. So I hope your listeners don't mind kind of just like a, you know, an honest, you know, honest to goodness convo here.
Well, we could be honest for the sake of them feeling like that voice is heard, is that. You know what, I there's an iTunes review, and I can't remember who it was, but it's something that I play in my head as a mantra. And it really, really touched me, to be honest, and that there was a guy who said, "Not only is it hilarious, but in a world of podcasters trying to pretend to be the next Corolla or Marin. Justin is refreshingly, I think he put it like he's refreshingly honest and touching. Like, so if you're a dad and you don't mind, you know, laughing and, you know, having something like a touching moment, then this is the podcast for you. I like that I say that this thing really touched me and I can't like just pull it out as a quote. That makes me such an asshole.
It's really changed my life.
It really made everything better. But if I could just pull what it said.
But it really changed my life forever, you said.
Here it is. The Dad Podcast is equal parts entertaining and therapeutic, with the podcast world being inundated with thousands of Howard Stern, Adam Carolla, Mark Maron wannabes. Justin's humor and honesty is not only refreshing, it makes the Dad Podcast genuinely unique. If you're a father who likes to laugh, and this is the line that kind of plays the tone of it, obviously, is and isn't afraid to feel, this podcast is an absolute must. And I really do think that that's kind of what I hope the show would be, is that I try to be funny when I can, but I can't do it 100% of the time. Anything that was funny today, honestly, is a God-given miracle, because I am two shakes away from crying right now with the bullshit that's going on in my own goddamn life. And this is fresh off a therapy session. So,
but this isn't kid related, is it? It is, and
it's like it's. And I know that parents can relate to this, and this is also why it's a weird thing to be in, because I have this tremendous fear of being blowhardy and getting up on soapboxes and pretending to understand and get people. But I also, there's also evidence that people have given me that when I'm honest about what goes on in my life, it makes them feel unalone. So it's a weird conflict that I have in my head. But to shoot straight with you is that I'm working a lot, and I'm desperately trying to cling on to a dream and a passion and still maintain the idea of being a father. I mean, to be 100% honest, it's gotten to the point where it costs us money for me to go out and do stand-up, and it's because of my kids. And I don't know how many parents can relate to that concept, especially if you're not near grandparents that can help out and kind of help out with free childcare. But it's rough, and that's kind of what I was talking to my therapist about it today, and he put it really well. He said, well, you obviously care for your children and you love them, but you have this sense of mourning because a part of you seems like you're losing it, like it's about to die to a certain extent, you know, figuratively, obviously. And I was like, no, yeah, that's it. That in May, I did 3 weeks of stand-up, and it cost me and my family damn near $2,000 just for me to go and do it, because I have to pay for childcare while I'm here. And I'm sure that there's a way to fix that. I'm sure that there's something that maybe could be better done, but maybe not you. I'm saying the figurative you of people who are listening, that you know that you're afraid of trying a bunch of different ways because you feel like you're kind of generating your kids to be these guinea pigs and lab rats, where you're saying, well, let's hope this sticks. I don't know. And if you do too much of that, it just feels wrong. It feels improper. And so I'm trying, you know, to do other avenues. And that's why last week I kind of mentioned, and I don't like doing it, and it slipped out that I'm like, if everybody listening to the show paid $2, like, it would essentially change my life forever. And that's unfair. And I don't know what everybody's financial burden is. I don't know what the benefit they get from the show is, if it's worth monetary or not. I know that in the world, podcasts are free, and I don't do it for the money. I'm just saying that it would be nice if it could be a job, and it would be good for me. But why the fuck do I deserve to get what I want when everybody else, you know, everybody's doing the same thing I'm doing? They all have something they're trying to fight for and dig and scratch and, you know, trying to make sure that they're not an asshole to their kids while they're doing it. And so my way of doing that, in order to afford to do what I love to do, is to manage an apartment building, and so I could be a stay-at-home dad. And I try to do podcasts too, because it's a passion of mine. And so it leaves little time for me to really focus in and zero in on being a father and a dad to my kids. And you feel like you're abusing them, but I really don't believe I am. I don't believe I'm neglecting them.
There's no way you are. There's no way you're neglecting them. But then you think about, you know, Joe Schmo, who works, you know, mom and dad work, you know, drop the kid off at 7 a.m. and pick him up at 6 p.m. 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
Right. And well, then it's a weird thing that I don't, and I think it's unfair to do to them. Just like I think it's unfair to call a woman who stays at home to take care of her kids, that to be a homemaker is a lesser thing, or that you've given up, or, you know what I mean? And maybe I'm being a hypocrite right now, because that's kind of the battle that I have, because I don't have that. I don't really have this weird desire to, I feel like in movies, they portray moms that are working as these people who are fighting against being a mother, and I really don't think that that's what's really going on. I think that there are parents who know what their limits are, and they know that, you know, as much as, it, you know, I'm sure it would be nice, that I don't think I could be the stay-at-home mom, and this is my best way of taking care of my kids, you know what I mean? Like, because I told my therapist, I said, sure, eventually when they get old enough, maybe I could take my kids on the road to offset some of the expense. But then I would be relying on some waitress somewhere to watch the kids while I'm on stage. And I go, and that, to me, creates more potential for volatility than like having a nanny situation or more of a permanent full-time caregiver. But then it's like, I think that that's a better situation, but it does come down to what I want, you know, and it's just, it's a weird, funky transitional time that 90% of the time when I do this job, there's not a lot to do. And it just so happens that, like I said, the last 3 weeks have been hellacious. That's why I was 2 weeks behind on episodes, because, you know, I flipped a third of the building, and that's every day phone calls coming in, trying to get somebody in there and get it in. And then I have a boss, like, you know, we all have bosses that are just fucking riding your asses, and it sucks. You want to be able to say, fuck off. I just want to sit and hug my kids and watch some fucking Princess La La Loopsy or whatever the fuck you were talking about earlier, you know, and be able to check out. And everybody, I think, is trying to build their life to be able to do that. And I just, my interpretation right now is that I think because I'm in my early 30s, that this is kind of your struggle time. My dad went through it the same time, and I don't necessarily think, I think I'm a little bit ahead of the curve from what he was. Like, I've learned from him, which is the goal, but you know, you spend this time of your life struggling, and hopefully by the time you hit your 40s, you've got a little bit of a pace that you can kind of stick with. And then once you're into your 50s, it's, you know, it becomes a little bit easier. That's the goal. That's the ambition that I think we're all fighting for. And now I'm getting, again, long, heavy.
I think what it is mostly, I personally, is just to be dime store therapist here, is I think that you've got kids that are at two kids that are at ages where they need full attention.
Yeah, you're right.
So it'd be different. Like if you were, say you and Natalie had your two kids, you know, 6-7 years ago,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't be, this wouldn't be so difficult. You'd probably have a situation where, you know, it'd be easier for them to stay with friends or, you know, with close friends in the area. You know, it's not like you're giving them a baby or a toddler. You're giving them an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, you know, that they can help you out with, and or that you could take with you. And you hear all the stories about kids that grew up in show business and watched their mom and dad from the wings of the theater while they performed, or they were in their dressing room while, you know, mom and dad were performing on the Broadway stage, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that might be the route that you're going, Justin, where eventually Jacob might be, you know, going to clubs with you, and you know, you just have to trust the people and make it a safe, positive situation. I mean, and for a kid to get that kind of, you know, kid who travels, a kid who knows airports and knows cities and meets new people and is good at that, that might create a better human being than, you know, the kid that, you know, stays and watches, you know, video games or plays video games all day. I don't know.
Well, I
what the hell do I know? I'm
exactly.
Just, again, I'm just throwing.
Yeah, we're spitballing here. We're not experts. That's never been the tone of the show. No. But I agree with you. But I do, like, here's the thing. And I agree with everything that you're saying. I just think that there is this weird thing that we unnecessarily get hung up on. What is the best situation? And I really am. I'm cultivating it, but I'm really starting to boil it down, is that it doesn't matter. If I brought my kid out on the road, realistically, it wouldn't matter, that I am just as capable. What really matters is, why are you doing what you're doing? If you're doing it for because you think it's for the better of your family and it's going to create a better life for your children and you love them at their core, like we say, that's the purpose of this show, is for parents that love the living shit out of their kids, but
right,
at the same time, enjoy being honest about their frustrations and are frustrated that other people aren't as honest as their frustrations. And so, right, I think that you're right, regardless of it, that it's possible. Whether the kid stays at home and plays video games, which is what could be, quote unquote, a more traditional environment, that doesn't fucking matter either. What really ultimately matters is what is the emotional tone of your relationship with your child. You can have expectations. You can be hard on them as long as it is coming from a place of love. I truly, honestly believe that with everything in my heart. What it really boils down to is that I'm trying to create a lifestyle that not only takes care of my family, but also, you know, feeds me. And what I've learned is that I love the shit out of my wife and my kids, and the idea of traveling away from them really sucks ass. So I have to decide, is it the fact that I travel that sucks ass so much that I don't want to keep doing it? Or is it just that it's hard to constantly come up with entertaining ways to expose what is very difficult and challenging within your own life? I, you know, all these are all stupid questions that I don't think really a lot of people can, you know, relate to. Because not everybody's trying to be a stand-up.
Actually, that's not true, because I can give you a really good example. Because what the bottom line here is that what makes you a better person, what feeds you, what makes you happy, and if just, you know, not just, but it's staying at home and not pursuing your dream of you know, continuing stand-up comedy and having that turn into bigger and better things, that makes you, by doing that, by getting out there and actually doing it, it makes you a better person, a happier person, which makes you probably someone that your kid wants to hang out with more, wants to be with more, wants to emulate more, as opposed to a dad who's miserable and unhappy and settles, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you might be a little cash strapped. It might be rough. It might be hard, but you know what? I bet you're a lot more pleasant to be around as a human being, because you are feeding yourself and you're being, if you want to be a good parent, I think you have to be a little selfish. And here's my example. I, as you know, run marathons, and I train I run 5 days a week without fail, and I've done so for a long time. And, I haven't seen my wife all day. You know, my kid's upset, and it's like, I got to go get my workout in. I got to go run for 40 minutes. I got to go run 5 miles. Right. And my wife has gotten to a point now where she's like, go, if you don't go, you're not going to be happy. And she knows that if I don't go out and take care of myself, if I don't do this little thing for me, this is like the podcast for you too. Yeah. If you don't get out and do that, guess what? You're going to be a real dick to hang around with. You're going to be an asshole of a dad. Your wife's not going to want to hang out with you, because you know what? You're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You're not taking care of yourself. And that's what a lot of people forget to do, especially, I think this is big for moms, is moms forget to, they're always like, take a spa day, take a day for yourself. Yeah. Well, it kind of makes sense. Your spa day, Justin, or, you know, maybe not your spa day, but it's like, it's feeding your career, doing what you're good at and what, you know, brings you satisfaction and makes you feel, and that's the same thing for me with my work. I travel a lot. And then also with working out, it's really important. It's really important to me. And I really, you know, I enjoy, it's my hobby. I like running and being active and getting outside and not sitting in the house all day. It's just my thing.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to say this once so I don't have to worry about it. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, wah, play me a fucking sob song, well, then fucking turn off your iPod and move on. Just you can rest assured that this is one of those shows that as soon as I turn the microphones off, that it's like, oh, fuck, why did I say all that shit? But But the honest to God's truth, it makes me laugh, because hearing what you're saying is that I told this to my therapist. Is he's like, well, what would happen if you gave up on stand? Like, what do you? Because he was hinting at this, and then went in and said the exact same thing you said. So I think you're more than a dime store therapist. I think you're a fucking pro. You can go pro with this shit.
If you stopped, you'd bug out. You'd bug out. You'd leave.
Bug out.
You would. You'd get in your car and leave.
Well, and I don't know. You never know. But it's I. Here's what I do know. I do know that this podcast and this is. I wish that you and I were talking in a BJ somewhere about this, and not, you know, for the listeners to hear. My only hope is that maybe somebody will appreciate it, or I don't know. I'm gonna stop fucking thinking about it because it makes it worse.
Yeah, don't filter. Just
but my point is, this podcast is the last thread that I am hanging on to desperately. So no matter what happens, I can't, you know, stop doing this. You know, and the therapist was like, well, if you were to do something else, what would you do and how would that make you feel? And I said, well, I tried a few years ago. I've had multiple times. Natalie will, you know, tell you that I've had multiple times, but that's it. I quit. I'm done. fuck it. I can't keep doing this. Oh my God. You know? And one time it got, when we were about to have Jack, it got really bad where it's like, fuck it, it's over. We can't keep doing this. And I looked for a real job, and I applied for a job as a biomed tech. My dad had an in because he was working there and referred me. I made it all the way in, and a guy beat me out because he had experience with their equipment. That's the only, my dad's boss said, that's the only reason your kid didn't get this gig, and it would have been over. I could have made enough money to support my family and start, you know, maybe acquiring rental properties after a few years. And I told him, he goes, well, what led you to that? He goes, why would you choose that job? I said, well, I honestly sat down and said, what am I good at? What am I naturally good at? And I can fix things. Like, I could figure shit out. I can talk, you know, I feel, because I fucking do it all the time. And I can make people laugh. That's my only skill sets. And he laughed at me. And he goes, well, I'm sure if you and I sat down, we could come up with more things. And it was just like it was that night when I started looking for other jobs and couldn't find anything. It is fucking frightening to have the realization that all you have is the ability to make people laugh, and nobody is out there buying. Like, nobody, you know, nobody's beating down your door. And I know I'm not alone in this. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm the only one who's ever felt this way. I just feel like, you know, it's that's what I've realized. In the last year, I've realized that if I am going to make a go at anything that is a dream, an ambition, or whatever, nobody else is, and I think this is common with everything, and it just took me a while to figure it out, but, you know, there are people who get discovered. There are people who get found. There are people that somebody sees, and like, you know, the Justin Bieber story or whatever, where some guy found him on YouTube because he was becoming this YouTube sensation and has stuck right with him and built him into a star. That kind of scenario does not happen for me. I've had every gig I've ever gotten is because somebody else quit, somebody else got fired, somebody else didn't want to do it. You know, that I'm the second string. So anything I do, I'm going to have to dig and fight and scratch and build it on my own. And I don't know how much I care to be able to do that. I genuinely like making people laugh. I genuinely feel like it's how I can in some way, shape, or form help people. But it's also a weird conflict that happens in my brain where it's like, do you really fucking help people? Really? You come in and you talk about pubic hair for an hour with your friend and that helps people? Are you really that fucking delusional? And maybe I'm psychotic and I shouldn't have children. These are all things that we could talk about next week's show. But,
oh, my gosh.
But so that's what I mean. This is why it's hard, is that, you know, it's a mess going on. I'm not a mess. I don't consider myself to mess of a person. I've got just a shit ton of stuff flying around and going on in my life. Like we've all been there. Everybody has those moments. And
it could be worse. You could put your brain on autopilot and go work at Home Depot in the plumbing department and not have to think and not be creative and slit your throat.
There's a part of me that would really love that. There's a part of me like that's the thing that's hard about this, is that also, like, I wish that I had the desire to be a quote like a plumber, like, because I feel like I talked about this with the actual plumber that works at this building, is that he kept laughing at me because this man, the way he executes a cock seal around a shower spigot is a work of fucking art. If you have ever worked with any kind of caulk or silicone on anything in a plumbing situation and you try to make it look clean and crisp like it was fucking manufactured by some Chinese kid to do that, it's impossible. And this man just whips it around, and you know it's there, but you don't see the lines. Like, it's a fucking work of art to me. And so I think it's unfair to kind of, you know, say that that's not, you know, that's less of an ambition. I wish that that was my ambition. It's like, so I could be talking about, man, it's really hard for me to build a plumbing business because I don't like that it's show business. And the idea of being a plumber would be the settling or the letdown or whatever. It's honestly, I don't have plumbing skills. I've done this for so long and I didn't invest into anything else in myself. So my only abilities that I feel I have as a resource are to tell stories and to hopefully make people laugh or maybe make them feel a little bit better about what's going on in their lives. That's about all I can, you know, make sense out of. And God damn it, I got to stop doing this. I got to stop talking about this. I'm never going to sleep again because it's going to be this fight. If you're hearing this right now, just know that there was at least 45 minutes of a grown-ass man with two children in Burbank just fighting himself in his brain going, no, don't fucking post it. Well, it's fucked up to Joseph. He gave up his night so he could help you out through the show and blah, blah, blah.
Hey. In all honesty, we can We can start over at another time.
If that's where
your brain goes, because I think our last few times it's been a lot of yuck yucks, and this has been a little bit more from the heart, my friend, from the heart.
Well, I hope people have enjoyed it. I don't know. You never know. And that's the other thing. It's fucking free. So unless you start paying me, I don't care what you think.
I'm gonna go ahead and change the subject real quick.
Do it.
Because
Let's
I
get
know
the fuck out of
I
this fucking
people
forest.
Wanna know. People wanna know.
Yeah.
Can you just give a little cliff notes? You shot your movie. Can you just talk about it? People are dying. I wanna know.
Oh my god,
people
I haven't even
know.
Told all this on this show, have I?
You haven't said a word. I didn't listen to the last episode. I've got it downloaded, but I haven't listened. So unless you talked on there, I haven't
heard
you talk.
Do you got 20 minutes? Is that too much time to kill?
Hey, if people think it's the episode's too long, they can stop listening right now.
Okay. Well, I'm worried about you, and you got to get up at butt o'clock and help a dude run up a fucking mountain for 100 miles.
Good.
Well, so here's what's great about this. So I show up the on this movie. For those of you who don't know, I play Jimmy Kimmel in the movie Not Another Celebrity Movie. I was kind of afraid to say anything because part of my fear was that I could somehow ruin it. There's this weird mystique that you're even though nobody tells you, or maybe when you get higher up, you can't. I know that I'm not, you know, in the fucking fourth Batman movie. But it's like you just feel like when you have this kind of opportunity, you don't want to fuck it up on something stupid. But I wanted to tell everybody this, and so I knew that I at least said that I was playing Jimmy Kimmel, but they're doing a parody of, like, the Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve movies, and they're calling it Not Another Celebrity Movie. And so I got the part of Jimmy Kimmel by just going in and essentially being myself, and the storyline is that Charlie Sheen believes that he is Justin Bieber's dad, and so he goes on these talk shows to say, yeah, I'm his father, I believe it, I want to make this happen, let's get a test going, and so he appears on Jimmy Kimmel. I play Jimmy Kimmel, and there's a nice little scene that happens. But what I think is the real meat and potatoes, and most of the cast members agree that more entertaining than the movie itself is the shit that happens in the making of the movie, because they would literally call actors in for a 12-hour day and not shoot them. Like, they would be all made up to look like fucking Robert De Niro, whoever they were, and not get a single ounce of film bleed down with their face because they were doing this on such a tight schedule that they just didn't care. They were throwing money at everything and like, well, sure, just sit there. And that's how the director was working, I guess. I was only there for a day. But one of my favorite things was sitting in the makeup trailer while they made me up to look like Jimmy Kimmel, and hearing the lady that was playing Angelina Jolie talk to the guy who was playing Robert De Niro. Now, they've been on this 3-week shoot with each other, and so she's talking about, because this was day 17 of 16 days, so they had to add a couple more days because they didn't get all the shots in the time that they wanted to use. And so she's like, now I only have 2 days. And then he goes, what? And he goes, 2 days before my next project. And I remember thinking, like, really? Come on. We're doing a low-budget movie. I don't think you can call it a project, but okay. And so she goes, so I have 2 days to walk the streets of Los Angeles to figure out how to pick up guys. That's what she said. And I was sitting there going, you're a chick who looks like Angelina Jolie. I don't think you have to figure this shit out. And what and the guy goes, really? What for? She goes, I'm playing a hooker and I need to figure out how to do the walk. She's doing some movie where she's playing hooker and she wants to figure, because she's like, there's a walk that they do. Now, here's the thing. There is a level of where she's invested into her art form that I kind of admire. But then there's a part that it's hard because she's taking herself so seriously. So it's a weird thing, even from the guy who just, you know, basically vomited his fucking baggage all over his podcast. But I just remember listening going, what? And then the guy goes, you know, I did that one time when I played a homeless person. And then at this point, I start to think these people do have bigger roles in this movie. Like, maybe this is what I'm missing in my showbiz career is fucking commitment. Like, I'm like, I would never in a million years think I need to go live like a homeless person to do some B straight to video movie. Like, you know?
Right.
And
right.
So she goes, yeah, I did that too. And then he goes, well, that could be dangerous for you. And she's like, no, my boyfriend and his friend sit in the car and watch me. So her boyfriend and her friend are just spent, this is 3 weeks ago by the time you're hearing this show, spent 2 days watching his girlfriend walk around trying to pick up Johns and hopefully not get arrested for prostitution to protect her. And then she says to the guy playing Robert De Niro, she goes, have you ever gone home and you know, banged your wife as De Niro? And he's like, what? She goes, you know, banged your wife as De Niro. And he's like, no. She goes, you never did the get. You should do that. That way she doesn't have to fantasize about being with another man. She could actually be with another man, you know, and who doesn't want to fuck Robert De Niro? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
It was really creepy. And then,
show business.
And, yeah, it was so funny watching these actor types be actors. Like, I really felt like there was a level of a candid camera type show being done because everybody was fitting their stereotype perfectly. Like, the chick was throwing fits about her hair and giving notes to the makeup artists and all this stuff. And, like,
yeah,
everybody's easily making $300 a day. Like, nobody is fucking the real Angelina Jolie. And so I said, and then he goes, well, the other day, because I guess they were having such long shoot days that he would just wear the makeup home and then he would, you know, and then sleep on his back and then come in so they didn't have to put a new nose on him. And so then he goes, the other day I came home and I nuzzled up to her with the nose or whatever. She's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here with that. And he's like, well, she goes, well, you got to be more aggressive. I really think she would be into it if you did the whole impression. She's like, I know I would, you know. It was so weird. Then there's a girl who plays Lady Gaga, and she walked up. I always, anytime a shoot, if I'm doing a commercial or anything like that, I always glom onto the production people because they're the ones that I can talk to and relate to. I can't have conversations about pretending to be a hooker. Like, I want to mock it and I can't help it.
Right.
So we're sitting talking, and then the girl who plays Lady Gaga just walks up and says, I'm bored. And then we're like, and then she walks away. And I was like, I didn't want to be rude, but am I the only one here who's like, you're a fucking adult? Figure it out. Like, why is it my job to figure out something for you to do to entertain yourself? Like, and she goes, no, everybody was thinking it. You're the only one to say it. She goes, but I'm so glad you said that. So I'm doing bits with them and making them laugh. And then the other story I wanted to tell, because I did, it was kind of sad and weird at the same time, is that there's a girl in the movie. I think it's the girl who plays Paris Hilton, if I'm not mistaken. And she has a daughter who's probably 2. And she makes this hullabaloo about how she doesn't make enough money doing the movie to cover childcare. Well, I paid more in my babysitter than I was making on the movie already. So I could be there for the day. And I had all of 3 lines in the movie and I'm there for a day. She's been there the entire shoot. And so what they did to help her out was they let her bring her daughter to set. And then the director's assistant would watch her daughter all day and take care of her. Now, for those of you, you know this, Joseph, because you've been on shoots and stuff. But for people who don't know, there's a lot of just sitting around while you're in your hair's in curlers and you're waiting to do 15 minutes of work. You know, there's a lot of that for whatever reason in film. So for her, but even during those times, it's not like her daughter was with her in her trailer or anything. This poor 22-year-old aspiring production person who will probably be some VP of Warner Brothers in 20 years from now is watching this chick's daughter and taking care of her and had the sweetest, kindest heart with this little girl, but then was getting talked to by the executive producer about work. And then the mom came out to grab something from craft services and noticed that the girl was gnawing on a ballpoint pen and just walked over and, like, huffingly, like, took it away. She goes, I'd rather she not chew on pens, please. And then walked away. And then she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she walks away while her little daughter is, like, walking behind her, like, and doesn't even acknowledge her daughter. And I was like, it's weird. Like, it used to be that I could laugh at that and be cool with it. But now that I have a kid, I'm like, fuck, does that suck that that's actually happening to somebody out there? It's like,
yeah, you feel for the kid.
Oh, my God. And so then I went to the girl and I tried to go, you know what? I have A Bug's Life. I have Toy Story. I have all these things on my laptop because I have a kid who's like 3 or 4. So if it'll help you to be able to set her in front of a movie, I have that. And like, the girl was so young, she didn't even understand like how that would help. She's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess if you don't mind or whatever. And I said, sure. So I went to go get it. But then she was like, no, I guess we're going to go back to the trailer or whatever. And she would watch the kid while the mom was in the trailer. And then this girl who played Paris Hilton also spread rumors that, and she talks out of her ass. If you look it up on IMDb, she has this hilarious bio on IMDb that's just full of shit and pomposity that's hilarious. But she thought that the guy who played Brad Pitt was bisexual and he had AIDS because he was bisexual.
What in the world?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So these are just samples of the stories that I got, and it's way more entertaining than the movie. I did get a little pat on the back because we got some chances to do a little improv in my scene. And yeah. So I did some improv, and one of the production people came up to me after I was wrapped, and she said, traditionally in a film when someone raps, we say, that's a wrap for Justin, Jimmy Kimmel, and everybody claps. But I guess on this shoot, we don't do that. But I did want to come over and say thank you for doing something funny in this comedy. So I know that it's going to be released at 300 theaters. I would love to be able to tell you it's going to be a hit and it's going to change my life. But by that statement right there, when the two-bit guy playing the talk show segment of an insignificant part of the movie is the one who does something funny,
yeah,
I don't know that that bodes so well for how this movie is going to test. It may never see the light of day. And I was kind of hoping that it would help get me on Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I wanted to be able to do this and start to be able.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, because that's one of my stupid ambitions. Like, you know, sure, if I did have to give it up, the only part that would kind of really suck is that I never got a chance to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live, because,
you know,
I love that guy. I think he's hilarious.
You've got to when it does come out, you've got to get him a clip of the movie.
Yeah,
because he could. I could totally see like a recurring bit where he like interviews himself or something where it's like you do a sketch.
Yeah.
You know, before each show. That recurring sketch, that would be very, that's not bad.
Well, that's what I'm going to talk to the agent who booked it for me or whatever and see if he can't negotiate something. And I might try and do like some kind of an online campaign to build awareness, because I know he pays his staff pays attention to stuff that goes on like YouTube and stuff like that. And because anybody who's a fan of his shows, he does a lot of things either via the internet. One of the most hilarious things he does is those YouTube challenges. Have you heard of these at all?
Uh-uh.
Oh my gosh. No. The best one is like, he goes, Jimmy Kimmel, I ate my kids' Halloween candy. Like, he says, put that. And what he told parents is that the day after Halloween, he said, get a camera and shoot a video of you explaining to your kids that you ate all their Halloween candy last night. And you just watch these kids getting angry and breaking down and pissed off. And then he had one where you give them horrible Christmas presents as a prank. And then for Father's Day, he had, hey, Jimmy Kimmel, I sprayed my dad with a hose. And so he had all these dads would be working on stuff and their kids would just hose them down. And it's fucking hysterical. So
I love it.
I might lean on our audience to help me do like a Twitter campaign or a Facebook thing to see if it can't help me get on the show or do some kind of bit. But I got to get my head above water with this stupid fucking apartment building. And then,
well, you certainly had quite the push for the Clorox thing. So I don't see why they wouldn't behind you.
Yeah, and so, that's right. Yeah, so that would be great. So did that answer your question? Did I tell enough, quote-unquote, Hollywood
type? That's good. I feel like your listeners kind of, you know, people in Iowa want to get a little, you know, want to feel a little Hollywood here because, you know, you're living the dream, man, as much as you are a freaking working stand-up and, you know, you just kind of sometimes you're like, oh, I'm performing with Louis C.K. and Jimmy Pardo, and I'm like, you know, I'm in the entertainment business and I'm freaking impressed. And so I think you self-deprecate to a point where you forget that your audience might actually, you know, they're like, well, wait a second. Yeah, this is stuff they want to hear about too. I think you should, you know, just make sure. I know you don't like to talk about yourself from an entertainment perspective so much, but I think your listeners like it and appreciate it. Yeah. They certainly enjoyed, you know, Bill's stories about, you know, being on set and stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, you're right there.
And you are
too.
A listener, so it stands to the reason that you could weigh in as a listener. And yeah, you're right. We have great listeners. That's what's really great is some of the people I've been able to have like email conversations with or conversations via Twitter. And everybody that listens to the show is real sweet. I'll be honest. I got a little dusting of some douches when Bill left the show that they wanted to weigh in and tell me what to do, you know, kind of thing. And I'm sure that that's not what they meant. And it's more on me that's how I didn't really get offended or whatever. But I was like, I mean, why does it really, do you really need to break down and make me build a podcast just for you? Like, is that really what you need? A free show just for you? You know, but yeah, it is what it is. Everybody has good
intentions.
But
you know what? This industry, that's kind of, you've kind of got to be like,
yeah, you got to take,
you got to have thick skin. You got to be ready for that because everything you do is under scrutiny, no matter what.
Well, let's wrap it up. You want to do a little moment of the week as per usual? Does that sound fun for you?
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear the intro and we will start our moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moment of the week actually happened just today. I've been running around with the building and stuff, and my poor wife was having a rough go getting the littlest Jack to go down for a nap. And so I finished what I could do that day, and I came to sit down, and I asked my son to come and sit down next to me, and he just he cuddled up next to me, and there was just something about smelling his hair and being able to cuddle with him that just kind of relaxed. And then he looked up at me and he said, "Dad, can you play with me?" And I was tired, I was exhausted, but I was like, "All right, sure." And I mean, it wasn't like it. We immediately jumped into play. Like, I can't oversell it like that, but there was that level of like, it gives you a little bit of Abe or perspective, as it's really known. But it reminds you of, you know, what your priorities should be. You know, kind of a thing is that, and that maybe I need to spend a little bit less time worrying about what the color of the balance number in my checkbook is, and more time worrying about, you know, how much am I investing in my kids? Just a skosh. I don't necessarily think I'm, you know, like we talked, I'm not really neglecting them or anything, but it was super adorable. And then Jack, I started doing this thing with him, and it kind of came, I guess, from Debbie, the lady that cuts our hair, she would kiss him and go, mwah, mwah, or whatever. And he just started doing it. Jacob had taught him how to give kisses. And yes, was it wet? Was it disgusting? Of course it was. But was it fucking cute and just amazing to feel your kid kind of love you back in that way? That was also awesome, is that he comes in and he gives me a kiss and he makes the noise of, but it's completely French. Like, it's all open mouth. There's
right.
bodily fluids being exchanged. Luckily, it's 50% mine anyway. But and don't think, for humor's sake, I didn't think it would be a little funny once to just kind of drop the tongue a little bit just to see what he would do. That's not true. That never happened. But but it was just cute. And he's a little bit of it. He used to not like to cuddle, but it feels damn good when you're working your ass off and then you come home. And I know every dad can relate to this, where, you know, they come up and they just hug you, even if he's only 14 months old, and he just puts his head up against you and just wants to be near you and have you touch him and hold him. Like, it's pretty fucktastic.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
The best. Mine's pretty simple. It was just the other day. Riley is, you know, she's three and just a little bit beyond three now. And, you know, her sentences are good and she puts some things together. But, you know, she was playing in the living room and I was making her dinner. It was just the two of us. And I set everything out and I had, like, you know, three different things and I had it all laid out fun. And usually I have to fight her to sit down to eat because she wants to play. She'd rather, you know, she's more interested in playing than eating. And so I'll sit her down and she'll kind of look at it and kind of pick at it and not be really into, you know, eating dinner. It's not a big, big thing. So. I'm in the kitchen and I put everything down and I'm like, okay, you know, come on, let's have dinner. And she walks in, you know, I usually have to drag her in. She walks in, she comes over to the table. She looks at everything that I've laid out for her and she puts her hands together like a princess clasp of both her hands and kind of puts them to the side. And she goes, "Oh my, this looks delicious." And I literally, like, spit out the water I was drinking, spit out, because I'm with her all day. Yeah. I've never seen that on a TV show or a cartoon or anything. And it's just like, where did she pull this out of her ass?
Yeah.
It was like scripted, and it was just so, and it was crystal clear. Like, yeah. She was a, you know, like a 19-year-old debutante from Georgia. Like, "Oh my, doesn't this look fabulous and delicious?" But it really, it was like, because, you know, it's going from, yeah, whatever, no, I don't want to eat, or, you know, screw you, Dad. This was just like, all of a sudden, and then the next night it was back to the same. So
I don't want this.
It was pretty, it was pretty adorable. And it's just one of those moments where you're just like, they are, you know, human beings that change and grow and, you know, you just, they're not predictable. There's nothing predictable about kids. And I really, really, I appreciate that. It's kind of keeps you on your toes, because I'm sure you get into ruts too with your kids where you're like, all right, this one with waffles. Okay, get dressed. Okay, put on your shoes. Okay, we're going to fight about sitting on the potty. Okay, yes. We're going to fight about this. We're going to fight about that. You know, and then all of a sudden, they change it up, and that's kind of exciting. It's kind of fun. And, you know, it also sucks when you get used to something and you expect one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're fighting about brushing teeth when it's never been a fight before. That's a joy.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's my moment of the week.
Are you
Riley.
Fucking kidding me? That's when I throw that in there. my patented trademark catchphrase. All right. Well, give us a call, 408-228-4911. On that note, by the way, I want to make it known, because I know that not everybody checks out on the Facebook page, but I want to say it's Chris, who's called in a couple times to use a rant line. He has a moment of the week, if I'm not mistaken. And the reason I didn't play it on this show is because I'm talking to Joseph via Skype, and it won't let me play something on my phone while on my computer while that's happening. So definitely next week I have it ready and chambered, and it's a very touching moment of the week and sweet and cute and adorable and everything we love about it. So please, you could leave those on the phone number, 408-228-4911. Feel free to send me an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. Please continue to spread the word. If you go to thedadpodcast.com, you can click on an episode and email it to a friend, share it on Facebook. You could share it via Stitcher. You guys have really helped me out. I've said it before that when Bill left the show, I did have a little concern that it's like half of everybody was going to leave. I appreciate you sticking through. I hope you're enjoying it just as much, if not more. And I continue to appreciate you guys helping to grow the show, because the numbers are getting larger and larger. And that is due in part to completely, in totality, to you, the listeners. Use the Amazon banner. All that jazz. Thank you, Joseph Bears. You're a good friend. I love the shit out of you, buddy, and I wish we were closer together, but I like that we get to do this with each other every now and then. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Yes, it was awesome, as always, and I look forward to doing it again. And it's just – actually, I enjoy just spending the time talking to you more than anything. It's great.
I was thinking about catching up. We should try talking and not recording it. But then no one would get to enjoy it but us. And that would be selfish of us. On behalf of my good friend Joseph Bears, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.